The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back, as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, second hour of the National Intel Lord Report on this seventh day of August, folks. Wow, 2018. I wonder if this is due to global warming. Is the Earth spinning faster? We have more sunlight hitting us or something? I was going to do a story on the climate anomalies that we're having. But there was a whole lot of speculation, and it was basically a nothing burger. So I decided, after careful examination of that, not to do it. But I'm rather fascinated, and though probably Facebook will get around to this, and so will YouTube. But, folks, there was Fox and NBC live news coverage from the crash site of United Flight 93 on 9/11. The reporters were not following a script. The footage was never seen again on television. The crash site was hastily staged. Reporters simply described what they saw. No plane, no people. And the second reporter's voice that you'll hear, a witness said, hey, what did the crash site look like? The guy said it was a hole in the ground. Can you describe the hole? Yeah, it was like 10 foot by 15 foot. Yeah. Here's the clip. Waiting. Here it comes. As I said, never seen again on TV.
The debris here is spread over a 3 to 4 mile radius, which has now been completely sealed off and is being treated, according to the FBI, as a crime scene. Governor Tom Ridge made some remarks earlier at a press conference. He had flown over the site. He said the emergency response here was immediate. He also said, and I don't know whether or not you all are able to see pictures of this, but this is one of those cases where the pictures really do tell the story, that sort of the most horrifying aspect of this particular crash scene is how little debris is visible. There is a large crater in the ground, and I'm hoping that you all are seeing it as I'm talking about it. But that's really all you see, is a large crater in the ground and just tiny, tiny bits of debris. There has been at least one report that the investigators out there, and there are hundreds of them, as I said tonight, have found nothing larger than a phone book.
I want to get quickly to Chris Kanicki. He's a photographer with the Pittsburgh affiliate, a Fox affiliate. He was back there just a couple of minutes ago, and Chris, I've seen the pictures. It looks like there's nothing there except for a hole in the ground.
Basically, that's right. The only thing you could see from where we were was a big gouge in the earth and some broken trees. We could see some people working, walking around in the area, but from where we could see, there wasn't much left.
Any large pieces of debris at all?
No, there was nothing that you could distinguish that a plane had crashed there.
Smoke, fire?
Nothing. It was absolutely quiet. It was actually very quiet. Nothing going on down there, no smoke, no fire. Just a couple of people walking around. They look like part of the NTSB crew, walking around looking at the pieces.
How big would you say that hole was?
From my estimates, I would guess it was probably about 20 to 15 feet long, and probably about 10 feet long, or 10 feet.
Wow. Carolyn in Pennsylvania. Hello, Carolyn.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, my name is Carolyn. It is in Carolyn.
Okay, are you on a speakerphone?
No, I'm in the bathroom because the computer is in the living room and it's a little bit too loud right now for me. So it's more quieter in here. I'm on the cell phone this morning that wasn't working.
Okay, you're extremely echoey and very hard to understand.
Door here. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, a little bit better. And Carolyn, let's not make this a long phone call because it is very bad. The audio is very bad.
Okay. I just have one thing to say to friends and family in Pennsylvania. I don't believe that on our utility bills that they should be surcharge taxes. That's against all of our constitutional rights out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, that you cannot charge a tax upon a tax and get away with it for very long. So the PUC in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, owes everybody their back money. So I think they better open some checkbooks and send everybody their surcharge money that they paid for years. I don't pay it. I used to, but I stopped out. I got audited 1 year, and that was enough for me when I had my own business.
Well, you know, you're dealing with people that are taking their tip from the federal government, maybe even from the Supreme Court. Do we remember that the ruling on Obamacare was, oh, that Congress has the right to lay and collect taxes. So on that basis, demanding national health care and everybody be in the program is legal. Your Public Utility Commission, I don't know that much about it, and I wished I could have a longer, clearer discussion with you, ma'am. But Carolyn, please call us another day with this on a clear line, because I can maybe get 2 words out of 10, but I do appreciate your call. Thank you very much. Roxanne in Texas. Hello, Roxanne.
Hi. I just wanted to really briefly state that this past weekend was the Barack Obama Day, so let's hope next year they'll have even higher numbers of shootings, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is a city. There was a gangbanger, and this was last year. He made a YouTube video, and he had gotten out of the gangs, and he'd gotten out of Chicago. He had something very interesting to say about how the gun problem is being fostered and beefed up in Chicago, that, in fact, automatic weapons, still in Cosmoline, in their original manufacturer's wrap, were mysteriously being left in alleyways and dumpsters all around Chicago. And these were weapons that were being planted there for the next ne'er-do-well to pick it up and go kill somebody. And for the life of me, Roxanne, I do not know why the cops cannot make inroads into the gang situation when they know damn right well what these gangs are capable. They always say it's a turf war. Well, in order to have a war, you got to have two sides. Okay, so we understand that both sides are, as they say, battling for their turf, okay? But you have leadership in that. You know where the gangs hang out. You know where they live. If you had a constant police presence around them, how well do you think these gangs could function?
Not at all.
And
I'll tell you real quickly, also, when I worked in Compton, L.A., this is in the 80s, when I'd go up to operating room or theater, we'd do x-ray, of course, in operating room. Gangs would come up and shoot in the operating room. That's where, you know, all these badges, you have to swipe your badge to get into certain areas of the hospital. It was pretty wild back then, so I can't even imagine it anymore. And I'll let you get on to your show.
Okay, thank you. All right. By the way, I mentioned this yesterday. Steve Elkins was on with me. You drink Heineken beer? Which, by the way, when I was in the military back in the early 70s in Germany, we could get bottles of Heineken for 25 cents. And if you think the Heineken you're drinking in the United States tastes anything like the Heineken that I could buy for a quarter over in Germany, you're wrong. Because that beer was fresh. I mean, you want to talk about fresh, it's fresh. And then I discovered the real secret about Heineken. Now, Heineken has a particular taste to it. Some call it hoppy, or it has a little bit of bite to it. It is a stronger beer. It's not like a lager, per se. But Heineken decided to come out with what they called their Heineken Light about 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, if you remember. Well, the perfect Heineken, and I demonstrated this to bartenders, you take half a glass of Heineken, regular Heineken, and a half a glass of Heineken Light, and guess what you get? You get the perfect Heineken beer. But that's not really the point. The point here is that conservatives are furious about their beer drinking after Heineken promotes open borders. Now, this comes to you from a company that Red Star is their logo. Hint, hint. Heineken has put some writing on the side of its bottle that's turning the heads of some conservative consumers. As you heard Steve Elkins saying yesterday, I'm going to finish off that 12-pack I got in the fridge, and I'm not buying any more Heineken. Heineken has written on their bottles in no uncertain terms an endorsement for open borders. Because? Reasons? Well, it goes something like this. Extremely late-stage capitalism voice. Open borders because a stranger is just a friend you haven't had a cold Heineken with. Here's to an open world, to a world without borders or barriers, to the belief that there's more that unites us than divides us, to finding common ground. So raise a bottle with a person next to you because a stranger is just a friend you haven't had a cold Heineken with yet. Now, can you see why some folks might be a little peeved at this? This is a clear imposition of the leftist beliefs in a subtle way on unsuspecting customers. Young conservatives noted that Heineken actually is doing more than just the bottles. There's a whole promotional campaign going on, including, guess what, on YouTube. And I guarantee you they will not be banned. Now, Heineken is a private company, and more than winning its rights to do this. In fact, as conservatives, it's our job to back the rights of private entities to be able to say these kinds of things. Well, they don't have to drink their beer. However, it's our job to let the money do the talking. An impact on sales might affect Heineken's feelings about this little message on a bottle. Maybe next time you crack open a cold one with your buddies, you pick a different brand. I'm not sure, not going to keep drinking this. Who's with me? Well, I don't drink a whole lot of beer, but wow. Here's to an open world, to a world, and I'm actually reading it right off the bottle, to a world without borders or barriers, to the belief that there's more that unites us than divides us. Yeah, we got two ears and two eyes and two legs and two arms and 10 pinkies and 10 toesies. To finding common ground, to raise a bottle with the person next to you because a stranger is just a friend you haven't had a cold Heineken with. Well, wait a minute. Aren't you supposed to drink Heineken at 45 degrees? Is that considered cold? Or is that just cool? I know what's not cool anymore. Heineken. Mike in New York. Hello, Mike.
How you doing, sir?
Hi.
If you think that's bad, wait until Coca-Cola comes out with their new Georgia Guidestone designs.
Are you serious?
No.
Okay. All right. But you know what? Wouldn't surprise me, but that's okay. We are the world. We are the world. You know.
So I got a question. How long do you think it'll be before Rahm Emanuel is asking for the UN peacekeeping forces again?
Well, I know he was kind of asking for federales in the city, and that died a quick death. But it would not surprise me if he wanted peacekeepers in his neighborhoods. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
I would be very interested to know if he had private security guards.
Well, you know damn right well he does. I mean, you know that he does. Hell, if you're in the entertainment field and you're anybody that's recognizable, you know, I mean, even Dianne Feinstein. Dianne Feinstein, when we had the militia hearings, God, decades ago in Washington, D.C. Yeah, this little hypocrite, she carried a gun around in her purse. For what? For self-protection. But yet, they were really against just the private people out there having guns.
Guns for me and none for thee.
And isn't it ironic here that Dianne Feinstein for 20 years as a Chinese spy as a chauffeur? Wow. I'm just, these people are convoluted. They really are, they're mixed up because they were born and they're practicing politics in the wrong country. There's a plethora of countries that their kind of politics they would welcome, along with the kind of money that they would bring.
And now with these seemingly motiveless shooters, mm-hmm. one right after another,
mm-hmm.
and the well, this isn't really a new situation in Chicago. It's been going on for over a decade, probably longer than I've been alive. Then it would seem to me like the only solutions to the violent situation in Chicago are going to look draconian.
Yes, because the problem has been allowed to fester for so long that the measures, which a lot of people will applaud because what they want is an end to violence, what they don't know is an end to their constitution, and the police will use basically anything that they can to satisfy and calm the fears of those that just want this to stop.
And what a perfect rallying cry for the Democrats if Trump does respond like that. Oh, see, he's a tyrant. Look what he's doing to Chicago.
Chicago is doing this to itself, and that's what I have a real issue with. The people are looking to place blame every place else. But wait a minute, what about the gangbangers? What about the criminals in Chicago that are acting illegally? It is their fault. Culturally, they're deficient. They're some kind of mental midgets. They are the ones doing the violence, but hey, we need more stringent gun laws. We need to up the penalties for gun ownership out there. Let me ask you something, Mike. If you were in the Wild West of West Chicago or, God forbid, South Chicago, would you walk around there at that area without being armed yourself? If you had to?
Absolutely not.
I wouldn't either. Because here's the thing about the Second Amendment to protect my property. I own me. Nobody else does. I own this property. It's on loan from God. But I'm the tenant of this until I shuffle off this mortal coil. Wherever my property goes, which is me, I should have the right to protect it. Now, of course, that's going to limit you. You know, you have First Amendment rights, you got Second Amendment rights, you got constitutional rights, except where prohibited by law. Yeah.
Never mind the Tenth Amendment. Don't look over there.
No, we're not going to go there. I need you to step over those bodies. Nothing to see here. It's time to move on. Yeah.
All right, John.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Mike.
Thank you, sir. Keep doing what you do.
I'm going to try as long as we've got the money to do it, which brings me around to the money situation. We're what, into the 8th day of August here, Mike? We have no way of paying bills this month. I am told by the people that are doing the construction we will have a store up and running this Friday, right, Mr. E? Hopefully that's the case. We had a few jangles along the way here, a little miscommunication, but everything has been put to bed, and I am told that it is a great website. That'll bring in some revenue as long as you people, rather than going someplace else to get your shopping needs, will shop with us, and then it'll solve part of the problem. But right now, you know, think of us being like a PBS where we need the public support, and I think we're doing something greater than PBS ever thought about doing. And we're not talking revolution here, folks. We're just talking about simple restoration. Time-consuming and expensive, but well worth the effort, don't you think? All right, let's take the break. 800-313-9443 is the call-in number. And I want to get around to a story that Chuck Baldwin did that is absolutely on point.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Wasn't that the idea when we started out in school? That's what they said the Constitution was about. Wasn't that the idea when we started out?
Betty in North Carolina, you're up next. Hello, Betty.
Before we hang up, let me get back with Mike and make a donation, okay?
Mike, did you get
that? He can take it.
He gave me a thumbs up, so he won't hang up on you once you conclude.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I may have called in earlier and said something about our precinct level voting.
Okay.
I am concerned a little bit about the voter registration that we carry around in our wallets with our credit card and our driver's license.
That declares you to be a U.S. citizen? Yes, yes, I'm familiar.
Okay, well, that so few actually come away from going to the poll and can name 10 of their precincts elected officials at the four levels. And that really needs to be done. They know the district number and who got elected, and that ought to be carried in their wallet.
Mm.
Now, in addition to that, I had one last thing I wanted to say.
Yes, sir.
And that is that when you go and you look at the ballot, particularly this one that we're going to have in my precinct, it's going to take 20 minutes to just fill it out. We've got 2,000 people in our precinct, and 1,500 of them are expected to come to the polls. And by the next election, I hope to get a group of people together that will start a website and get these 10 officials to post on that website at least a paragraph a month or a week, and that the citizens could post too. And it just seems to me that the negligence and the, it's almost irresponsible to go and try and fill out the kind of ballot that we're going to go and find on November 8th. And that's all I had to say.
All righty. Betty, I appreciate it very much. Hang on. Mikey is going to grab you right here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Betty. And when you do that, Mikey, after you grab her, give me Chuck in Texas.
Hey, hello. Buddy, how you doing tonight?
Hey, Chuck.
You know, tonight I wanted to talk about donations.
Yes.
I mean, you know me. I'm not necessarily someone that you like whenever I call in because I don't agree with you on a lot of things.
Well, that's fine.
In particular, Trump. But I want to talk to folks about if you're going to
you better be careful. I'm going to send out that Fox reporter to you with his laundry with his laundry list of stuff that Trump has actually accomplished.
I can debate that if I decide to go back on air on my own show. But people don't understand how hard it is to do what you do, and we may not always agree on everything. But folks, if you're going to call in and voice your opinion on this, there aren't advertisers paying enough to keep John on air.
Bingo.
To keep Michael Ribeiro on air. To keep all of this operation on air. I call in and piss off Mike Ribeiro and the boss, as I call the man I'm talking to right now, you know, because I don't like Trump. I think he's a traitor. But that's okay. But they don't ban me. They don't say, we don't want to hear what you have to say. We don't want to hear your opinion.
Yeah.
So I kind of taxed myself at a minimum of $25 a phone call. I'm kind of like, okay, I'm going to call in about four times this month.
Make it 50 and you can have to the bottom of the hour.
Well, that depends. I'm a working man, so it depends on the jobs that I get because I don't hire illegals. So, you know,
yeah, but haven't you heard the illegal landscapers even jacked their rates up due to inflation? Wow.
You know, I had a thought today when I was driving to a job to go look at something, and I thought, you know what I ought to do is print out a whole bunch of things that look like they're from ICE, and pester them on job sites where I know they're all illegals working down here in Texas, and just staple them around where it looks like it's from ICE, notifying the business owner about Title VIII, and you have been informed. And wouldn't that be fun?
Now, Chuck, okay, humor me here for a minute. What if we had people that did the hiring at ICE that don't like Donald Trump that would actually hire them? Did we lose him?
No, I'm here. I'm not sure I quite understood the statement.
Okay, so you're going to put out kind of posters for job listings. Contact ICE, get a job, is that right?
No. Go to where all the new construction is down here.
Okay.
You know, the BS. Well, let's not get into the economics of why they can afford to be building stuff everywhere, central bank and all that. But there's nobody there speaks English. And go up there and just take something, a flyer. Make a flyer that looks like it's from ICE. And notifying the owner of the construction companies hiring these people about Title VIII.
Oh, okay. I got you.
You're being informed that to hire and just quote the law. Just quote the law.
You know, people have said when they meet me that I have this presence, that I somehow look like a military or I could be a cop. You want to have some fun, get a kind of like a car that ICE would drive, get a nice haircut, get a good piece of shade, have that air about you of officialdom, and just show up on one of these job sites and watch how many and see how you want to see Mexican jumping beans. You would see it then.
Well, I can do that.
Well, there you go. That.
I look the part.
Okay, Chuck, time's up, man.
Thank you, brother.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Thank you,
more
Chuck.
More donations coming.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354, or visit MIG911.com.
Generally, thumbs up means open microphone. No. My little gyrations and little gestures here in the studio has nothing to do with a thumbs up. Don't give me that. Don't tell me you're confused. You got the same kind of glass I got on this side. I can see you perfectly. Can you see me? God rest my mother's soul. One day, my sister and I will never forget this as long as we live. She's upstairs. We're down on the landing to the back door that goes a few steps up into the kitchen. We were loading up some stuff, you know, the heavy stuff to take to the laundry you really can't do in a washing machine at home. And she's upstairs. And there was a cold air return that was on the landing to the upstairs that came down the wall and to the landing by the back door. And my sister and I were in this goofy mood, and we're just laughing our tails off. And we hear this little voice from afar saying, "Can you see me?" That was it. There was nothing done for the rest of the day. Couldn't, because we were just in stitches the whole damn time. At any rate, on the donation issue, you know, it takes us $11,500 a month. It does not change. That figure is constant, month after month after month. Now, if we take that figure and times that by 12 months, that's $138,000 a year, which, folks, in the annals of radio and networking, that's next to nothing. But let me break it down by donations. Some of you out there donate $100 a month, and you do it, you just hand it over, boom, without question. I enjoy what you guys do. I believe in what you do. Here's $100 a month. Now, for those people, if they're consistent within that year, that's $1,200 a month, or $1,200 a year for that individual, if at the rate of $100 a month. Some people are doing 50, and that's good too. But if you're at 50, by the way, that's 115 donors at $100. 115 people, if they donate $100 a month, that's the entire nut for the network for, oh, holy mackerel, for the month. But just, I'm sorry. No, not for the whole year. I'm talking about the individual. If they donated $100 a month, that would be $1,200 a year. Are you following me here? Okay, good. Because I know if I don't get through to you, being the insightful person picking fly stuff out of my sugar bowl. Okay? Now, say they're donating $50, Mike. $50? That would take 230 people at $50 a month. And that's only $600 a year. Now, when you say it like that, people go, wow, he can't make enough in donations to cover his nut. The only reason, and you've heard me for the last week, week and a half saying, folks, hello, don't forget to financially support us. We did this thing with FrontSight. 65 people signed up for that. 65 people. The network garnered $19,500. We got $300 out of every $500 donation for their premier membership for FrontSight. But 65 people took part in that. And that netted the network, like I said, about $19,500. That's why you've not heard me say anything about donations for a couple of months. And I understand that if somebody was forking out $500 when they were only used to paying, you know, $50 a month or $100 a month, I can understand why they wouldn't donate while they're buying that membership. But these are very simple numbers, folks. Not a whole lot of people. We're a country of 300 million plus. Well, let me stick with the 300 million because the plus is probably here illegally. But out of a country of 300 million people, if 100 of you donated, 115, let me be accurate, 115 of you donated $100 a month, that's the entire nut for the network for the month. And for the year, it's only $138. Now, $138,000 to somebody who doesn't have a whole lot of money might sound like a whole lot of money, but not to run an operation such as this. It is mere pittance. As a matter of fact, I had Clear Channel people vicariously through one of our talk show hosts say they were running a network on how much money? They're doing what? And we're familiar with the network. We've looked at it. They've got satellite. They've got internet. They've got all that stuff. They got talk show host. They got everything. You mean to tell me they run the entire network for $11,500 a month? Maybe that's the way that we should go. Gee, well, a little late. You're still billions in the hole. With really no content that I would want to hear, to be honest with you. Sovereign Man, hello.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Great. Did you have the opportunity to listen to Resurrected Republic last night? Rudy Davis and Aaron Davis, they presented a phone call from a federal facility from Ed Brown.
Oh, really?
A 15-minute call, brother. It was inspiring.
Well, you know what? I did not have an opportunity to hear it, and Mike didn't tell me that happened.
Well, maybe you didn't know. There's a link on YouTube. The channel was Lodestar, like the Lone Star State.
Right.
Lone Star 1776. That's Rudy's YouTube channel.
Okay.
And it's there.
I'll be down. How's he doing? You heard the show. I didn't.
Yeah, well, he is, it was inspiring. He you know, it's best he could be in the facility, and he's actually, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but he's talking about, you know, trying to get in touch with the provost marshal, you know, having to do with the United States Coast Guard.
I don't know what that has to do with his situation, but okay.
Well, it's because, you know, everything is de facto, you know. These are criminal courts, criminal jails. There's nothing running that's actually constitutional, John. It's all administrative. So,
and well,
the thing that is constitutional is, you know, the Coast Guard.
All right, well, I will take your word for that, Sovereign Man. I don't know with contact and the provost how that's going to help Ed Brown, but if it does, let me know.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see. I mean, but it's hopeful that he even got a call out.
Yeah,
you
know, well.
Versus what's his name, Schaefer Cox in the CMU.
Did he say anything about his wife, Elaine?
No, he didn't go into about Elaine, but I pray that she's well. I know it's not easy.
You know, I can remember going to their house. I can remember being there, talking with Ed and Elaine.
I just missed you. I just missed you, or maybe I didn't see you. I spoke with Randy that weekend. I got there late on that 14th.
Yeah, and
after the helicopter.
Yeah, the aforementioned was the one that busted in on that place and decided to take over the podium. And I was working out things with the local judge and the local county sheriff. I had Randy Weaver in tow. Boy, what a better way to, here's your law enforcement gone crazy. Look what they did to Randy here. I mean, when I went to see the county sheriff there and I made the introductions as we were sitting down, the guy's eyes almost fell out of his head because he was familiar with him and then what had happened at Ruby Ridge. You know, I wasn't allowed to handle it the way that it should have been handled. No, I got the boisterous one of saying, look at me, I'm in another crisis, and listen to me because I'm the voice of America. Pissed me right off.
Mm.
We put a lot of effort into that, at any rate.
Yeah. But there's some links in the RTR chat room.
Okay.
Have you seen the video footage of the helicopter?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's from inside the helicopter. The FLIR footage is there, man. It's something.
Yeah. Well, they didn't get shot up or busted by a helicopter. They got busted by a guy showing up with a pizza.
Oh, yeah. They offered Ed and Elaine with pizza and beer.
Yeah.
And then tasered them like some cowards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. All right, Sovereign Man, I appreciate it, my friend. Thank you. All right. Eric in Tennessee, and then I want to get into this dual citizenship. My friend here, at least I think I can call him my friend, Chuck Baldwin, has made some very interesting points, and I much appreciate Chuck Baldwin and how he's evolved in this temporal world on some of his viewpoints. Eric in Tennessee. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, John, I'm on the air. I'm going to put my donation from my $50 a month to $100 a month tomorrow morning.
Thank you so much. I mean, it doesn't sound like a whole lot, but once I threw out those numbers, didn't that make you scratch your head?
It really did. It really did, and I'm glad you did that. Motivated me. We got to save our the public access and keep things going right.
Well, and hopefully I'll keep doing things right. I think people trust me. I've been doing this for a long time, and I have not varied in my course or my approach here. I mean, it's just been there every single day. Did I lose him?
If I don't know if you can do it or not, but if you could accept Bitcoin and instantly turn it into dollars, would you do it?
I'm sorry, you're on a sucky phone connection. Say that again, Eric.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Let me. If you could accept Bitcoin and turn it into dollars and instantly, would you do it?
Well, look, I don't know much. I don't know much about Bitcoin, and in order to cash Bitcoin in, don't you have to be a member?
No, You don't have to be a member of anything. Bitcoin's a private currency.
Mike, you want to look into that? You're not giving.
Well, I mean, I don't have the app yet, but if we're working on it, and as soon as it comes out, if you're willing to accept Bitcoin, that instantly turns into dollars for you. Then you can put a barcode thing up on your website and accept Bitcoin and turn it into U.S. dollars if that's what you want. How cool is that?
Well, since I'm not a
I would like to be.
I'm not a cryptocurrency fan, but as long as I don't have to become a member or peddle their product, and I can just accept
no,
it.
No, you don't have.
Okay. Well, no. That's fine.
You don't have to peddle anything. You don't have to sell anything.
Good.
This is just a way of accepting a currency, and it's going to be an app that's not quite out yet, but it's coming very soon.
Okay.
Well, and so if you're willing to, I'm going to buy you the app, John.
Okay.
Well, and I want to be the first
long,
one on
just
that
as
list.
Long as I don't want, you've heard my position on cryptocurrencies. I give it as much value as the funny money that's out there.
I know you do, but it's better than the funny money right now.
Yeah, right now, but it's still based on nothing. And that's the problem with
it. No, it's actually based on energy of the people, energy of the computer.
Yeah, but, okay, without being too hard on you here, it's like a pyramid thing. The more people that join in, the better it is, okay, until it ain't no more.
And, no, that shows me you don't understand what it is. Because it's a limited,
Eric.
It's a limited supply of currency.
A limited supply of Bitcoin.
Yes, it's limited to 21 million. Ever be produced.
And
already 17 million have been produced. So there's only 5 million more to go, and they won't all be mined until 2140.
Okay. Well, 2021. What?
2140. Word. Both you and I will be long gone by then.
Yeah, you think?
But I'm not hoping so, but yeah, probably will be.
All right.
Just a matter of life at the way we look at it.
Okay, is this $100 donation, is this going to be actually Federal Reserve notes this time?
Yeah, so I'm going to do it through PayPal like I've been doing.
Good, thank you.
But in the future, I would hope you're open to accepting a Bitcoin app that you can take Bitcoin and convert it instantly into dollars, if that's what you want to deal with.
All right. Well, we'll look at it when that comes about, Eric, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Okay. As soon as I find it, I'll get a hold of you, and maybe we can set it up, and I'll actually buy you the app.
Okay. Deal.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Eric.
Take care, John.
You too, sir. I'm not going to say anything else. Bitcoin is Bitcoin. That was my only problem with any of these cryptocurrencies. It's the full faith and the belief in the people that are buying the coins what's driving the price of it up. But the price of what? Well, it's a Bitcoin. But what does it represent? Well, it represents, a Bitcoin. Oh, what can you do with it? Well, you can actually convert it into dollars. Okay. So I'm going to take a cryptocurrency that's backed by nothing, and I'm going to change it into Federal Reserve notes that are backed by nothing. Nothing plus nothing equals, I know. But I do understand the Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies out there. But 21 million, wait a minute. Mike, does that sound right to you? Huh? So there's only 21 million, well, not right now? They mine the coins. That almost sounds like a little bit of labor mining something that's real. Kind of like digging for gold or silver. The computer does encryption. All right. Okay. At any rate. Let me get into this. Chuck Baldwin, as I said, he's coming around nicely. He said most Americans would be shocked if they knew how many foreign citizens are in our federal government and at what levels. They don't know because the mainstream media, or the conservative media for that matter, whatever that means, almost never talks about it. It's one of the biggest secrets in Washington, D.C. He writes, back in 2015, Michael Hager wrote a very important missive that appeared in The Hill, and Hager said this. The biblical injunction that no one can serve two masters doesn't apply to nations. Almost half of the world's countries, including the U.S., recognize dual citizenship, even when they don't encourage it for the complicated legal issues it often raises. For example, one who obeys a requirement to give allegiance to a country or votes in a foreign election may be regarded as having renounced citizenship in the other country. What happens when the legal claims of one country conflict with those of the second country? Which of the two countries has the obligation to assist a dual national in distress? Until the Supreme Court decided otherwise in 1967, and this is the case of Afroyim versus Rusk. That's Afroyim versus Rusk. A U.S. citizen who voted in a political election in a foreign state would forfeit his or her citizenship. From that point on, dual citizens have maintained their right to vote and hold public office without penalty. Now, anyone can become a dual citizen, even members of Congress, high court judges, and top officials of the executive branch. There's no law or regulation against it, nor are they required to disclose such dual citizenship. So what's the problem here? Well, dual citizenship in the United States poses a hitherto unappreciated issue for policy-level members of the legislative, executive, and the judicial branches. The divided national loyalties of dual citizens can create real or apparent conflicts of interest when such legislators, judges, or senior officials make or speak out on policies that relate to their second country. The potential damage to our... Let me back up. Chuck, somebody email Chuck. The next sentence is the potential damage to our democracy is greater. Well, I said he was coming around. I didn't say he was there yet. I said he was coming. And it reads, the potential damage to our democracy is the greater when such potential conflicts of interest are concealed in undisclosed dual citizenship. A lack of transparency regarding citizenship erodes trust in government, raising credibility doubts when there should be none, and allowing some apparent conflicts of interest to continue undetected. When a senator, representative, or senior U.S. official speaks out, submits bills, or determines policy on an issue of importance to a foreign country, of which that member or official or judge has the tie of citizenship, their constituents and the U.S. public at large should at least be able to assess whether their views or actions are influenced by the divided loyalty. Jeez, makes common sense, doesn't it? Kind of like me saying that, you know, a lobbyist going to Washington, D.C., okay, I get that. Yeah, you're buying influence. We want to know how much you're purchasing and at what price and who are you buying. And I would want a recorded transcript of anybody that walks into any Senate critter's or Congress critter's office and is there to sell in, you know, just for his next election. You know, here's a little money to go in your rainy day account. I want to know how much it is, and I want to know what the discussion is. And by recording, that should be mandatory. It would end the scurrilous influence into our political arena, would it not? At any rate, so on with this. By contrast, dual citizenship creates conflict of interest through divided loyalties. Thus, if you would seem reasonable to require the dual citizenship members of Congress, the judiciary, and the executive be required to renounce citizenship in another country as a condition of public service. Yet the media and government watchdog organizations, and I'm watching you, Chuck, you said democracy. I got you. Watchdog organizations have largely ignored the potential conflict of interest inherent in dual citizenship. Why the neglect on this issue? Shouldn't members of Congress and the judges and federal branch officials and the executive branch, shouldn't they be at least required to disclose their citizenship in another country? Could possibly be a conflict of interest, you would think. Even if our legal system continues to allow dual citizens to serve in high positions of the U.S. government, it should require them to recuse themselves from participating in decisions or policy debates that relate to their second country. Wow. As a first step, the Congressional Research Service of the Library of Congress should begin to include citizenship along with the current listings of party breakdown, age, occupation, education, congressional service, religion, gender, ethnicity, military service, and its published profiles of each new Congress. Okay. Americans can then decide whether our legislators and possibly federal judges and senior government officials as well should be required to renounce their citizenship in another country as a condition of public service, and that means here. Dual nationals owe allegiance to both the United States and the foreign country. They are required to obey the laws of both countries, and either country has the right to enforce its laws. It's important to note the problems attendant to dual nationality. Claims of other countries upon U.S. dual nationals often place them in situations where their obligations to one country are in conflict with the laws of another. Yet there are probably hundreds. We really don't know the true number because of the Hager notes. They are not required by law to declare their foreign citizenship. Of foreign citizens serving in all the federal government, and will you be shocked to learn almost all of them, if not all of them, are citizens of one foreign country? Take a wild guess which country that is. You got it. Israel. In my research for this column, which was not exhaustive, I found over 100 members of the U.S. government are known to be dual U.S. citizens, Israeli U.S. citizens. Here's a short sample list. Michael Chertoff, Mike Mulcahy, Richard Perle, Paul Wolfowitz, Douglas Feith, Henry Kissinger, John Bolton. Additional Israeli citizens serving in high-level U.S. government positions include Janet Yellen, Stanley Fisher of the Federal Reserve, so was Yellen, Lincoln Bloomfield, Assistant Secretary of State, Daniel Kutzner, Ambassador to Israel, Cliff Sobel, Ambassador to the Netherlands, Stuart Bernstein, Ambassador to Denmark, Nancy Brinker, Ambassador to Hungary, Frank Lavin, Ambassador to Singapore, Ron Wisner, Ambassador to Slovakia, Martin Silverstein, or Silverstein, whichever you prefer, Ambassador to Uruguay, Jay Lefkowitz, Deputy Assistant to the President, Director of Domestic Policy Council, Ken Melman, White House Policy Director, Brad Blakeman, White House Director of Scheduling. And he says, I found 14 current and former U.S. senators who are dual U.S.-Israeli citizens, including Barbara Boxer, Russ Feingold, Dianne Feinstein, Frank Lautenberg, Joe Lieberman, Bernard Sanders, that's right, Bernie, Charlie Schumer. He's not only a socialist, he's a dual citizen Israeli, and he's over here telling us, you know, give us your chicken in your pot because I ain't got a chicken in my pot and I want yours. 32 current or past members of the U.S. House of Representatives who are dual U.S. Israeli citizens. It'd be real nice if I could hear that bump music to let me know I'm running out of time. Eric Cantner, Barney Frank, Gabriel Giffords, Gerald Nadler, Adam Schiff, Henry Waxman, Anthony Weiner. Wow. The Weiner Schnitzel. All right. Boy, I'm glad I got a clock in my head that went off going, I don't hear any bumper because you didn't have the volume up. Thanks for being here, ladies and gentlemen. Please donate to the cause. You're not donating to me. You're donating to the network, which supports many, and many do listen. Please donate today.
The American Opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.